All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. We are all present and accounted for. And ready to rock and roll. Nick's here, Barry's here,
I'm here. That's copyrighted. You owe him a lot of money.
No. Not even close.
You're in violation, sir.
That's daily.
Yeah.
And if it was, you're just going to add to the attention and just get your partner fired? Yeah, that's what you're going
to
do?
Well, he tried to do it to me. When I said, let's get ready, he goes, I stopped
him, didn't I?
He tried to get me in trouble, though.
Nope. Yeah,
I would do the same.
I could have, you know, if I was talking about the Texans, I would have said, let's get ready to fumble.
Okay.
See how I did that? Switched it up. Made it football related. Who's already got his thinking cap on? This guy. How you doing?
I'm all right. You guys?
Oh, boy. It's going to be a good, fun day. We got our big shindig going down tonight. I wore my best clothes. A Whataburger ketchup shirt.
Yeah. Nick, you're all dialed up.
Yeah, you're all gussied up. Well, you bringing a hoe?
No, I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's an employee-only
That's right.
Occasion.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So I don't feel very comfortable with the way I look without the blazer. I don't think I have a good look with the blazer either, but I think it looks a lot worse.
I don't think
you look
bad.
Okay without it, but I'm going to need... I mean, you look okay with it. I'm going to need to see you without it.
That's fine.
We're going to need to get a picture, like a side-by-side.
Can I remind you guys aren't dating anymore? I don't think he has to meet your demands.
Yeah, so why do you... Yeah. I don't need a... Well,
maybe I'm all back in.
Don't need your...
Maybe I'm ready to, you know...
Reconcile?
Yeah.
Takes two to tango.
Yeah.
Or is it just a booty call? If it's another one-time thing, it's a booty call. It's not reconciliation.
It's whatever. I want to see what I'm working with again.
I'm worried about you, sir.
What are you worried about?
Worried about your marriage.
Are you? I wouldn't worry about that. It's solid. We're good. We are solid. No worries there. Hey, how about those Rockets?
Got to win.
Huh?
Lots of...
comeback, baby!
Lots of spreads covered last night.
It starts now. It starts... The climb to the top starts now. They beat a depleted, sad-looking Denver Nuggets team. It starts now.
If it wasn't depleted before the game to find out that two or three more guys weren't playing, you better beat their ass.
Yeah, it was like... It was not just a... It was like a total of four players that were not...
More like Denver.
They went to like six before the game.
Yeah.
Their starting backcourt was out for one. And anytime Jamal Murray's out, and I've told you guys how much I think of that guy, and he can really shoot it. And Millsap's out. And then the list just keeps on going. And you're like, God, you better beat them.
Yeah. Well, the Thunder won. So they're keeping that two-game gap there for the seventh seed.
That hurts your prediction.
I appreciate that. A little bit, but I wasn't expecting Denver to be that banged up. But I also had them beating the Thunder and losing to the Nuggets, so I'll take it. It's
still
wash.
A good prediction, it's regardless.
It's still on track.
Shut up.
It is. I mean,
just shut up.
Okay. You know what? Every time
that's
I get
a great prediction, Barry. It's still right on spot.
I do
on.
Not sound like
spot
that.
Spot on. I,
do not
sound I think like you got
that.
It.
He doesn't you're sound gonna, like that at all.
You're gonna peg it. That's a good one.
Every time I give Joel credit, you need to react the exact
Should
same
I do
way.
That? Well, I'm not a crybaby, so.
Plus, you don't give me credit.
A crybaby.
So, yeah, you are.
What?
You're a whiny little bitch.
We're all crybaby.
Not just a crybaby.
What? Oh, damn. I was just joking.
What?
He went to the next step and called you a whiny little bitch. That's how we're starting the show.
This is how the 1:04 in the afternoon, and you're already calling me a whiny bitch.
I'm not calling you one now. I'm just telling you as an overview of what you are.
Which is hilarious coming from you.
It is.
Of all people. Yeah. This is a very much a pot and kettle situation happening right here. Yeah. We should just change the name of this show to The Whiny Bitches, not The Usual Suspects. Because you're right, all three of us are pretty whiny.
Now everybody's going to take off with that one now,
yeah,
too.
Course.
Now there's going to be gifts.
And you know who our listeners, because the listeners are suspects, the listeners would just be bitches. And we're the whiny bitches, and that's what we're...
What up, bitches?
It would be the best. That, you think that would be the best opening to a radio show in the history of radio in this city? If it if you started with a curse word, right?
Yeah.
But this show is we're ballsy. We tiptoe the line. We like to.
We could use that too. Then what's up, ballsy bitches?
No, that's no. But then that's Fred, sexy bitches.
Oh yeah,
and I think he ends it with that, right?
Sometimes, not all the time.
He used to walk in the studio and say, "What's up, sexy bitches?"
Stay sportsy, bitches.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Stay sportsy, bitches. He closes with a curse word, which is still pretty edgy. Mm. I like it. I like it. So now we're not breaking any new ground. Now that we know Fred does it every day, so forget it.
Okay. Super.
Well, I digress.
So we got a little shindig tonight.
Yeah,
I believe it's still being called a holiday party. So everybody should be in attendance. If they know what's good for them.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so. Although I'm not rocking a sport coat like Nick.
Well, I think it's a dress shirt, which I don't have, or a blazer.
I have a dress shirt.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing that. Yeah. I have blazers too, but I wasn't going to wear both. That's too fancy.
What was on the invite? Did it say slightly dressy? Something like that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's.
Are you going to go like that?
No, I'll tell you what it said.
You look like a Russian mob boss.
Thanks. I'll take you up first. That's easy.
I do like the tracksuit, though. I tried to get Nora to get me a tracksuit for Christmas. No go. I don't know if it was because she just thought I'm too fat for a tracksuit or if she just is like, no one wears tracksuits. But not like that. Like, it was like a tracksuit.
You said she was like an LL Cool J fan, and that's kind of LL Cool J-ish.
She has a huge crush on LL Cool J.
Oh, it's a crush? She's not a fan?
No, crush.
Mr. Smith?
Yes. Huge crush.
Well, my bad for bringing that up.
No, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Let's talk about your neck. Party dress code says, quote, a little dressy.
A little dress? That doesn't even make any sense.
And so I asked this morning, what does a little dressy mean?
I mean, just make sure your fly's up. That's what a little dressy is. Just make sure your fly's not down.
One response was nice jeans or khakis or slacks with a nice dress shirt.
Okay, good. That's exactly what I did.
Potentially a jacket.
Nope.
The other response I got was, well, don't dress like you're going to McDonald's, but anything you wear will probably be okay.
Okay. Oh, God.
Blech. See, here we go.
A lot of people that are going are probably a lot of the people that's on the fourth floor having this little special meeting that I have no business being at, and they like catered Jersey Mike's.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had like four of these I have no business taking these chips.
And I'm the fat one.
Oh, but don't worry about you. You don't have to worry about you. Whatever you took Cheetos, wasn't even close to what everybody else
took.
And
one of the Doritos. And
yeah. I'm the fat one. And you're the one. You've eaten four bags of chips.
Yeah.
And you're shame. You're sneak eating like Joel did the first year with those baked Lay's in the conference room.
I hammered those. Yeah. I certainly did. Yep.
Man.
You're shame eating in there by yourself. And I'm the fat one.
On the stream and everything.
And then you
want
to sit there and say you're not shaped like a light bulb. So all
that,
of this
and
is,
that behooves the question,
just
Nicholas.
The proof
Dude,
I needed.
It says 160 calories per package. It's not that
who
big
cares?
A deal.
Who cares? Let's get to the
when
bigger
When you have
crux
nine of them, it is.
Now, maybe, Barry, and Barry, you might be on the same page as Nick on this, but this is perplexing to me. If
That's
you
like
go buy
calories.
A spread from Jersey Mike's, that would let everybody believe, which is true, that there were multiple sandwiches to choose from, as well as a big basket of chips and a big cooler of soda. You're telling me, with no one around to call you out on anything, and you got free run of the place, you're not taking a single sandwich. And you're going to take four bags of chips?
I'm not big on cold sandwiches. Not
Why?
Big on that. We've had this discussion.
I don't remember it.
I usually get the Philly cheesesteak or the chicken chipotle sandwich.
You said it wrong. Chipotle.
Chipotle.
There you go.
Chipotle. You wouldn't get a turkey sandwich?
No. That's not me. Sandwiches, that's not me. No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
That's weird.
Who it
doesn't
is
like
weird.
Sandwiches?
I
Who
just don't like cold
sandwiches?
Sandwiches.
Who doesn't like sandwiches?
Peanut butter and jelly, no problem.
That's a cold sandwich.
Yeah, but that's. I'm talking like with veggies and stuff.
Bro, who doesn't. You don't eat bologna and cheese?
Mm-mm.
You don't eat turkey and cheese?
Uh-uh.
Just like a ham and cheese?
Roast beef?
Is the turkey warm?
No.
No, stop it. A roast beef.
Slap a little mayo or mustard or whatever your choice
Negative.
Is on a. A couple slices of bread and eat a sandwich.
I remember being berated for two segments the last time we had this.
A chicken club?
I don't remember this conversation ever
either.
Coming up. That, maybe it was on another show. Maybe when you moonlight
Which
and stab us in the
okay,
back with the blitz.
Yeah.
But
you two are not the only two that's called me weird.
No chicken club, turkey club, nothing like that.
Is it cold?
Yes.
No.
You don't eat cold sandwiches.
I just won't do it.
Wow, we finally found something you won't eat.
I don't get it, though.
That is a weird thing, though, Nicholas.
I don't get ketchup on mac and cheese, Joel.
No, that's...
I don't put ketchup on mac and cheese.
Or ketchup steak. On what? Steak.
Steak.
I don't put ketchup on steak. Yes, on grilled cheese, I do.
Oh, that's what it was.
Grilled cheese and sometimes
just,
on eggs.
You should have just said it was mac and cheese.
That's still weird, too. You should do it with like a sauce, like a tomato-based sauce.
You haven't heard of people that do a bowl of tomato soup and dip the grilled cheese in it?
Yeah. You don't put ketchup on that. You just, yeah.
Because you're right. Because the soup and the ketchup are made out of two totally different vegetables.
You don't need the ketchup is my point.
Actually, technically, tomatoes are fruit.
That is correct because it has seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Did you know that, Nick?
Yeah. I just learned it about 3.5 seconds ago.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's so weird. You don't eat cold sandwiches, but you'll eat 15 bags of chips.
Four.
Okay. Yeah, for by now. The way, how much did you say 160 calories a bag?
Yeah, 10 times four.
Yeah, that's a lot of calories, Nicholas.
I mean.
You're going to have to go buy a new jacket before the party happens.
you're 700 calories like, deep.
Good thing you wore that
single gonna like fly. Bit of protein.
Good thing you wore that stretchy shirt underneath.
Yeah.
You want to do your RIP here?
Huh? My RIP.
Terry Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Monty Python.
Mm-hmm. You did it. Rest in peace. Were you a Monty Python fan?
Not a fan. Never have. Never was. I know a lot of people were are. I just was never a Monty Python fan.
You are speaking the devil's tongue right now. What do you talk about? Monty Python is one of the greatest things that I've ever witnessed in my life. It
really?
Was it. I can't even tell you, dude. I had this a tape of a Monty Python album, and I don't even remember the name of the album.
Okay.
I just remember I would put it on my little, you know, in high school, you had the little dual cassette kind of thing, whatever that was. I would put that tape on and just go to sleep listening to Monty Python every single night. And they would have the election day and the dead parrot and at the pet shop and all of those things, all those sketches. And it was just so funny to me because it was so absurd and so silly. And Terry Jones was who was the co-founder. He's passed away today at 77 from a rare form of dementia. And he was one of the co-founders of Monty Python and one of the smartest people you would ever meet, by the way. Hmm. Everybody in Monty Python, as silly and as crazy as they were all very, very intelligent men, which is hard to believe when you watch it because it's, you know, I mean, you've seen The Quest for the Holy Grail, right?
No, I have not. I'm not a fan.
What? Nicholas?
That's the first thing that pops up when I went to YouTube.
The Quest for the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
There's a scene in there. Well, the whole movie.
Well, it says Monty Python and the Holy Grail is what the first
one. Okay, thing. I thought it was Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail. Whatever, the Holy Grail. But they don't have horses. It's dudes running around and there's guys following behind them with coconuts making horse sounds. With the coconuts, like... Because they didn't have the budget for horses, so that's how silly it was. But that's the beauty of Monty Python is the silliness like that. The knights that go nit. The guy at the black knight at the bridge, he gets his two legs cut off and his arms. And he was like, that's just a flesh wound. Like, it's just the most amazing, hilariously absurd, silly comedy. And I absolutely loved it. And, yeah, he passed away. And so he was – Monty Python was a big inspiration for me coming up.
Okay.
Very big. I mean, Bill Cosby was. Save it. Because it all had to do with comedy. I didn't know any better. Right. I didn't know he was rapey. I had no idea. But yeah, Bill Cosby was a big influence for me. So, and Monty Python.
There you go.
Rest in peace, Terry Jones.
All right, just getting started on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Obviously, we always have lots to talk about it. But if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call that number, text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry Is Funny. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy, Josh Pestikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated, and all they do is focus on taking care of their customers with great customer service. So much so that they got a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, and they're going to take care of you too. You call them at 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family or your business? And they're going to get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. It's just fantastic. I switched about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. I just re-upped with them because they've saved me thousands, and they continue to do so while they do great communication work telling me when I'm using using energy a lot? What hours of the day are my highs and lows in terms of energy usage? And showing me what I've done from year to year during the same months so that I can compare. And I can also make changes if I need to around the house and where I'm using electricity. If you call them up at that 844-INFUSE2 number and you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and they'll go from there. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, Usual Suspects, just getting it rolling on ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. As we were just breaking the ice and getting y'all ready to go as we take you till 4 o'clock. Talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Rockets did get a win last night.
Yeah, they did. Huge win. Climbing the ladder.
They're winning the championship.
That's but one in a row.
I mean, we can
suck it.
We can get to that. But I think, and obviously I don't know that it's the size of a story that everybody nationally thought it was.
The Z word.
But yeah.
Don't.
I mean, here's the thing I will say, because everybody, ESPN's made it too big of a deal.
Yeah.
And honestly, Zion's debut last night.
That was huge.
For three quarters. For three quarters, they made it a huge story. ESPN, as they do in most cases, overdoes the hell out of it as something that looked like it was going to be way bigger than it actually turned out to be. And then most people turned their televisions off. And then lo and behold, in the fourth quarter, he rattled off 13 straight points all by himself, ended up with 22 points in 19 minutes.
Can we talk about, just get it out in the open right now?
Sure.
His jump shot is ugly.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree
with that. It's not
smooth. I don't think that's going to change, though.
But it's more effective than Lonzo Ball when he came in the league.
4 for 4 behind the three-point line.
Or Markelle Fultz, yeah.
But it's like an ugly-looking three-point shot. And I think the reason I was watching it going, what is it about his shot that is ugly to me? And it's the fact that he has no lift.
Yeah, it's stiff.
He just doesn't get off the ground. He's got a Larry Bird type of,
but it's also,
jump to a couple inches off the ground, and that's it.
It's also not fluid. It's it's like he's forcing his elbow to stay in or whatever. But I'll tell you this. If you told me, before the game he can make 4 in a row, I'd be like, come on, man. Yeah. And then he made 4 in a row. I don't think in their first year in the league, and maybe even to this day, Markelle Fultz or, Lonzo Ball might now, because he went, you can see Lonzo Ball reconstructed
his
shot.
He went 3 for 6.
He can shoot the three now, and it looks good.
I think Zion's going to help him, though. Help his career. He's gonna make him look like a better player. I think it's really good for his career to work with someone young.
Lonzo?
Like yeah.
Yeah, and look, they got a good nucleus now. A good young nucleus. And they're talking about trading Holiday. And if they trade Holiday, who's more of a veteran, effective scoring point guard. But when you take Hart and Ball and Ingram and now Zion and Jackson Hayes, the center from Texas they drafted this year, you got 5 guys you can build around that are gonna just get better.
I'll be first to admit, I haven't been paying attention to the Pelicans, especially because there's really been no reason. Sure. But look at Alonzo Ball's line.
Yep. I'm telling you, man, watch him shoot.
Yeah.
He went to work in the offseason.
Almost 36% behind the three-point line.
He completely tore down and rebuilt the fundamentals of his shot.
Wow. Good for
him.
And
he makes them.
And you know what? I admire and respect that. Because it's easy to just be hey, I'm going to play out this contract and get this money and whatever, whatever. But he's like, no, I want to be a good basketball player. And he worked on it. And
that's what we talked about with Dwight Howard, as opposed to some of the greats of the game. If you want to be great in the offseason, you go and you try to either perfect another move like James Harden does, or you go and you work with Akeem like Kobe Bryant and LeBron James does. But if you work with Kevin McHale and Akeem Olajuwon, arguably the two most skilled big men of at least our generation,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get any better,
You ain't trying.
That's on you, and you just, yeah, you're not really working hard enough. But the fact that Gary Payton and Jason Kidd came into this league without jump shots, and they worked until they had one, that's what I give Ball credit for. Because he went to work, he redid some things, and now he can make the three.
Dwight Howard could have worked on two or three moves in the offseason to the point where, like, you know, it's the whole saying where are you okay at a bunch of different moves, or are you really good at one or two? You sit there and perfect, and you just do rep after rep after rep. And even if teams have tape on you, you execute it so well that in a lot of cases you get so good at it that they know what's coming. They know they can't necessarily stop it. They just do the best that they can to minimize it. And that makes you a great player. That makes you like a really, really, especially in a big man situation like Dwight Howard. You were so big. You were so big. If you learn how to control your body, know where to move. Like the big thing with Zion today was like, well, this is like he landed on one leg five times, and I know that's a big deal. And they kept writing 280 and they kept on writing on the screen. That's 285 pounds. It's not like when he fell the last three times it changed. He's 285 pounds each time he lands on one leg. It's so important. It's so important for someone like Zion to work on the offseason. And if it's the three-point shot that he needs to work on, fine. If it's a move in the low post, fine. But he has to keep doing that.
I do want to say, though, they showed a picture of his sneakers for his first game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the foam in the – it looked like it had been crushed.
He's a brand Jordan guy.
But he's a big dude. What I'm saying is, like, you know, a lot of times in your sneakers, you wear them and that foam in the sole.
Sure.
It might over time start to break down. It literally looked like it had broken down already, and it was probably in game. Like, that's how big this dude is. His sneakers are under a lot of pressure. My observations watching one game, and it's just one game, and that's why I was like, no, you know, teasing you like, no, don't do it, because it's literally just one game. This dude could be a flop just as well as he could be a superstar. No,
absolutely, but I didn't expect the numbers he put up. That's kind of why I brought it up, because, you know, the over-under going into the game was 12.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, and he shattered 20 both and 10? Of them.
Well, did he get his 20 and 10? Did he get 10 rebounds?
No.
What did he get?
Oh, maybe he did. I don't know.
No, he got 7.
27 and 7. Three, I thought he went 20, 22 assists, right?
Points. Yeah, 22. 7 rebounds.
Yeah.
3 assists.
Okay. That's a hell of a
18 minutes.
Yeah, that's a hell of a stat line in 18 minutes.
When you look at the productivity in 18 minutes, that makes it even more impressive.
One, I think the worst thing that he could have come out and did early was knock down 4 threes in a row. Cuz it's like that's probably not going to be your game early on, though. Right?
It's not, but guess what? He's not Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to shoot him.
He was wide open on like two of them.
They did leave him open for two of them, but guess what? He's now has more made threes in his career in one game than Ben Simmons has in his career.
That's crazy. The other big thing that dude's going to have to lose weight.
And because he's got to get in shape. Because if you looked at the way he played last night,
he was exhausted.
He didn't look like he had lift, legs,
but the fact
juice.
That they have him listed as a small forward, the size he is, he's either going to have to start guarding some power forwards because he can rebound. He was getting after it on the boards, I felt like.
That one where he went over the back without touching,
got his own miss and put one back too. Like, he can rebound, and I feel like he's going to have to start guarding some fours if he's going to be that big. Either that or get down to 260 if you're going to be a small forward.
What is he, 19 or 20? He's probably 19. Still eating like Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, but that's the scary thing is he's going to end up getting fat.
And his knees are really going to have problems if he doesn't take some weight off.
He needs to get down to 260 and be a small forward.
Marshawn Lynch ate Skittles.
Because right now he's a big small forward.
Nick, if you don't know by now, it's about the chicken.
It is.
You got to take care of the chicken. You got to get your chicken.
But only in Nick's place, only warm chicken.
Yeah, but just warm chicken.
Yeah.
It can be fried chicken, baked chicken. Just got to be warm chicken.
By the way, somebody texted the show, Nicholas, and said, my friend who works at Tight Ends posted the best picture with Nick in it. You taking pictures now?
Did not see it.
Okay.
Nick, we'll have to see it.
I see you.
But you don't see the picture.
I think I did see it, actually. I follow a couple of those chicks from Tight Ends.
I bet you do.
It's a good follow on IG.
All right, half hour in. Still plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we were talking a little basketball. So we might as well get into this Rockets game last night. They did what they had to do. They got a win. They snapped a four-game losing streak. Harden finally made a three. Westbrook was again Russ, as he's putting up good numbers.
Yeah.
And what I really, really like, guys, and regardless of what kind of team was out there for the Denver Nuggets and everything else about this Rockets team, it's taken a while, but Russ is finally starting to play the way Russ has to play.
Yeah.
For them to be effective. And that is, when he goes downhill and he attacks the 10, my goodness, he's tough to stop.
Well, I mean, he did have those three. Oh, no, he didn't shoot any threes. See, that's the whole point.
Yep.
Like, bro, Brody, don't take those open threes, Brody. Drive. Just drive to the lane or dish. But, Brody, if they leave you open, don't shoot it.
Somebody tweeted in the last 24 hours, but over a three-game span, he's only shot one three, I believe, and he's made it. And it's the least amount of threes he shot in his career. Fantastic.
It's been working, though.
Because he's the worst three-point shooter in the history. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. And I love Russ. But he is the worst three-point shooter of all time in the NBA based on the amount of three-point shots he's shot. It's like 20-some percent. For guys that have shot however many hundreds or whatever, a thousand threes.
Uh-huh.
He's the worst all-time shooter, and it's in the low 20s.
Well, Harden's trying to catch him.
So, yeah, but the thing is the other parts of his game is where you'd be tough to find people that can try and stop that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as, and you know what? This was almost the perfect storm. It was negativity because of a four-game losing streak and James going 1 of 17 from 3 and needing 29 shots to get his points the other night. But it was a perfect storm because it allowed Russ to be the guy that they needed.
Uh-huh.
And it allowed forced James to say, I got to let Russ do his thing. So instead of Russ standing aimlessly on the side, watching James dribble every last ounce of air out of the ball and then do a step back,
yeah,
James had to be the guy that gave the keys to Russ and totally got the agree. Hell out of the way.
The offense looked a lot different completely. Last night. There wasn't as many dribbling out the shot clock and then taking a dumb shot, trying to draw a foul. And when you didn't get the foul, you just threw something up and it was a terrible shot. Then that was their offense for a long time. Now, you know, James still went 6 of 13 and Russ went 11 for 25. You still got to be better than that.
Sure.
You can't have your two superstars go 17 for 38 from the field.
Right.
They're going to have to do a little bit better than that. But the 2 of 6 from 3 for James and Russ not taking a 3 and getting to the bucket. They had 19 free throws that they made. So that's great.
Yep.
That's great. And I do like the fact that Russ had a different role in this offense, and it's the role that he should have been playing all along, I believe. And we've talked about the fact
that... I've said it since day one. You're right.
Yeah, we've talked about the fact that he has got to be... His job is not to sit there and shoot threes or wait on James to decide what to do.
Yeah, I said from the get-go, the only guy that made concessions from the time that these two guys got together was Russ, uh-huh. because James hasn't changed a thing. He's still doing what he does, getting the points that he gets, all those other things. But the thing that I've said also since day one is it shouldn't be that hard. If you get a rebound in transition or in a live ball situation where there's a break opportunity, Russ gets the ball. If you get a ball and you're inbounding off a make or something like that, and you're just going to set up kind of a half-court offense,
mm-hmm.
give James the ball.
Yeah.
But
agreed.
It shouldn't be that hard to just say, breaks, guys, this is anything. What we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and they're still not running the pick and roll with Capella, and I don't understand that. But mm-hmm. maybe that's another wrinkle that they can add later in the season that they're going to force. Because I think that's going to be a big part of their game in the postseason, because you, more than anybody, preaches about how it's a different game mm-hmm. and it slows down.
Yep.
You better be able to run use a big man in the postgame. So they really need to start working on that and figuring out who's it going to be. Because you can say it's going to be James that runs the pick and roll because he runs it really well.
Sure he does.
But that means now you got to leave Russ to spot up and shoot. Or would you rather Good have point. Russ running the pick and roll with James spotting up to knock down a three? And I'm not saying that needs to be their whole offense. I'm just saying mix it up and do something like that a little bit.
You bring up the point of the playoffs. The other thing is you go to the Belichick philosophy, and what good teams with good coaching staffs are going to do is they're going to take away what you do best. You saw Denver try to do it, though they didn't have the regular personnel. They've been one of those teams that likes to double-team James. You've seen it in this four-game losing streak where teams are really just – the Lakers did it to a T, forced the ball out of James' hands with double-teams. Yeah. So then you're right. You can't have your option be rush, shoot the ball. Then it has to be one quick pass gets Russ the ball. Then when he attacks the basket, now your McLemore's and your P.J. Tucker's and your spot-up shooters are going to be wide open. And then you've got a chance to attack them and make them kind of put them on their heels defensively instead of going, oh, God, if we double-team James, we got you. Because then pick your poison, no rush shooting a three or James double-team.
And the other thing, too, which I think is – you know, this team needed the win, and you're going to get a lot of them if you have Russ and James and EG all getting 25 or more points in a game, which the three of them combined scored 80 points. Rockets are going to win a lot of games if that happens. But I think the big thing to me was, and James Harden said as much, that, you know what, they need, after that four-game skid, it felt like a lot more, but you could tell this team had no confidence coming into the game.
Confidence booster. You know, I think it's only a handful of teams that's done that. And so gave us confidence. You know, I think that finishing that first series, we kind of, you know, took the series kind of slow in the beginning. You know, it kind of, you know, bit us on the butt. But we fought back, you know, and we fought three really hard games and we came away with them.
And I think they needed that. And and Russ, if you know, I was reading something where he just kept preaching about positivity, positivity, positivity. He kept saying that, look, we're going to have a streak like this, and we know that, and we just got to remain positive. And he even said as much where he was like, you know we can win, and we want to get hot at the right time. And I'd rather get this out of the way now and figure this all out so that we're hot going into the playoffs. That's a veteran leader, because you don't hear those type of things from James.
And Gordon even came out and said, too, we know we should never lose four in a row. And we know that this is a bad stretch, but we also know we're a good team. But what I like most about what you said about what Westbrook said is the two things he's preached over the last week from the team meeting all the way till now is energy and hustle, because it doesn't matter if you're making your shots or not.
That's it.
If you are busting your ass on both ends, good things are going to happen. And then positivity, like you said, you know, stay believing in yourself, because you're right. When they came out last night, they were tight. Yep. You could tell they were almost – Denver was almost going, hey, James, you've been really awful at threes lately. Shoot it. Go ahead, shoot it. And you could tell he was – he didn't want to pull the trigger at first.
Yeah.
So
– a little hesitant.
I think that was a good thing, because I think when James doesn't want to pull the trigger, now you can see there are other guys that can make shots.
Yep.
There's other alternatives to the way this offense runs. And let's also be honest. When Russ was doing his thing, nobody was sitting around being upset, because everybody was potentially a part of a play. PJ in the corner, McLemore on the three line, Capella at the rim. He was getting guys involved.
I mean, watching Westbrook when he's like he was last night, it's what you hoped you would get when they went out and traded for him. Because you would watch him with the Thunder do these things, and you'd see him go 28-16 with 8-10 assists and be like, dude, is he really that unstoppable? And then you watch last night and you go, yeah, I see now why you would want these two on the same team when an offense runs like that. And let's be, Denver didn't play great defense. They were undermanned, all those things. But like I said, I don't care who they played. If Russ Westbrook, if Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Eric Gordon are putting up 80 points, there's a really good chance they win that game.
And that's a get well game. You got to have those every now and then too, just like the losing streaks. You got to have a game that you get right on. And that was a good get right game for them, because as you pointed out, this is a hell of a stretch coming up for them on the road now with Utah and Denver and Portland. And Portland's playing better. They traded for Trevor Ariza. They're adding some pieces. They're doing some things. Nurkic is now practicing full board, so he may even play when they play the Rockets. You're going to get the best of these other teams, because there is a logjam in the West and everybody knows they got a chance. So you're going to have to be at your very best. So they got well last night. Now it's how do you handle four straight on the road against some pretty good opponents?
Yeah.
So we'll see how it
goes. Well, you got Minnesota up first, so that's good.
That's get another well
confidence,
part two.
Another confidence booster for them. But you're right. Yeah, it's not going to get any easier. And I still am standing by the whole seven seed thing. Unless they start playing. If they play like they played last night down the stretch of this month, then I'm going to be proven to be wrong. And I hope they do. I hope they do. Mm-hmm. I hope that I'm wrong about that. But it's going to be tough. Minnesota, Denver, Utah, Portland, Dallas. That's how they close out January.
And you know what? You mentioned, you're right, about if you're getting Gordon, Westbrook and Harden to score 80 points or more, you're in a good position. But the other thing that you have to have, that's fine for the regular season, but in the playoffs, what you're going to have is, and not every night, every guy, you're going to have one or two guys, whether it be off the bench or one or a Macklemore.
Rivers had 11.
Yeah, you got to have one or two guys that also contribute double figures and some other things, make some shots, because you know defenses in the playoffs are going to be so totally different in terms of what they focus on. And the other thing is, if you're not going to, from the Belichick perspective, if you're not just going to try and take James away, you're going to take the three away.
Yeah.
You're going to overplay the perimeter and say, beat us on the mid-range, which you don't want to do.
And, you know, that, to me, the best thing about last night is that we learned that that the young kid, Michael Frazier, is articulate.
You want to elaborate? Because I'm not.
I mean, during the game, he's checking in and they're all like, oh, here comes Michael Frazier. This is great. This is good. Bill Worrell goes, man, he's so articulate. That drives me insane. Why? You didn't need to say that.
There's so much to unwrap there that I cannot do.
Trust me, I just cannot do it. Trust me. All I tweeted was, you know, and this is all I tweeted, and you should see the randomness of the responses because no one knew how to took it because nobody knew what I was referencing.
I didn't know either.
Specifically? But I just said, you never hear people say white athletes are articulate. You never hear that. And I'm going to leave it at that.
We always hear our suspects are. So,
Barry, have you been called articulate?
Yeah, actually. I'm not a white athlete, though. No, I haven't.
You're not. Never. I was going to say, you're half of that, but then some days, some people don't think you're even that.
No, I've never been called articulate. Never. In my life.
Well, let's not. Neither wish. Nick and I are not going to be the ones that start now. Oh, so,
man, you guys are.
Let's
racist.
Roll on. Much more to get to. Hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects. If you guys want to join us, jump in on Rockets Talk. Got some interesting things in football. Hey, how about this whole Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens thing all over again? It's getting messy and it's getting good. Get your popcorn because there was some good stuff in the last day or so. We'll get to that a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're rolling through hour number one, Usual Suspects. I mentioned this before the break. I want to get to this because this was something that just kind of popped up in the last 24 hours, and I wasn't sure if you guys saw this or not. But Bleacher Report has a guy, Master Ties, I believe he goes by. He did a one-on-one interview with Donovan McNabb. They were playing pool. And the tweet says, Donovan McNabb says, T.O. drama broke up the Eagles. His relationship with Owens is fractured to this day. New on untold stories. To which Terrell Owens saw this and responded, hey, Master Ties, let me know when you want to hear the truth. Did you ask him about those DUIs and what he was doing at the parties I threw at my house during our time in Philly? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you.
Ooh, sounds like he's trying to break up a marriage.
Yep.
Sounds like he's trying to break up a marriage. And I don't remember Donovan McNabb getting a DUI, but all you got to do is Google it real quick.
He did.
Yeah.
So.
And he sure is cheesing in his mugshot. I just Googled McNabb DUI.
I want to say he was
July 7th, 2015. Donovan McNabb arrested again for DUI. That was way after
he. Interesting to see if on those dates T.O. had a party.
Well, 2015, he wasn't even playing anymore, was he?
No, he wasn't. Oh, I want to say he was associated with one of the competing radio
NFL
stations.
Network. No, that was
radio stations here locally.
McNabb?
When that happened.
But remember,
think
he was also.
I don't know why I just sounded like Charlie Pullum. McNabb?
You did.
What?
That was also during the time of the NFL Network scandal with the female that brought up the allegations against Marshall Faulk and all the guys. And Donovan McNabb
sex toys?
Was roped into that. Warren Sapp.
Rope.
No, about harassment and all these other things.
Yeah.
And Donovan McNabb was brought up in that. But T.O. wasn't done. Will Blackman, former defensive back for the Packers, said, "Man, I knew as soon as I seen this damn interview that it was going to be on with you, T.O." And T.O. said, "Yes, sir, grab a seat." And just like him, I handle grown man business. He didn't want this smoke when I asked him after me and Hugh got into it. That was when Hugh Douglas and T.O. got into the locker room that day. But the same offer stands for him today as it did 16 years ago. This guy, he must be sober now.
Oh, boy.
And then finishes with, someone says, "Relax, T.O., be a bigger man. Let your numbers tell the story." And he said, "Nah, I'll never be the bigger man because I don't eat chunky soup on a regular basis. But I've been the bigger man for years, knowing his jealous ass was the reason I didn't return to Philly."
Ooh, see?
Man, daggers.
You know what's crazy is off air, the three of us have had a conversation about something going on with me. I want to go the T.O. route and y'all won't let me. I just want to burn it down. I like that. I'm okay with that because you know why I'm okay with that? This sounds childish. McNabb started it. You went out there and aired your dirty laundry. You went out there, you put it out there, and you can't go out and whether he's right or wrong. And McNabb may be completely right about it. I mean, let's be real. He may be authentic in his assessment of what happened, but you know if you're gonna throw in somebody's name like T.O., there's certain people that this is the response you're going to get. You do this to T.O., Ocho Cinco, Antonio Brown. Who else? What's the other crazy wide receiver? Damn it. But those guys are going to respond in that manner. And so you knew this was going to happen.
I think.
What's the name from Dallas? Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant is one. Yep. Yeah.
But I think a lot of these guys, and we've made this point on this show plenty of times, you know, they want to stay relevant, right? And then they reach a point in their career post, you know, football career when they've been out of the game for years and they're like, you know what, I don't care. It's so much easier to tell a story 5, 10, 15 years after the fact when no one's really going to get in trouble or hurt by it. When you know, like no one's, like that didn't hurt T.O.'s career. That didn't really hurt McNabb's career.
Oh, wait a minute now. Because it did hurt T.O.
No, by saying it in an interview at Bleacher Report.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Mike Fiers, he started a fire, like an absolute just...
And it's just, it kind of comes down to timing. Because if they're both still playing, there's a whole lot more to lose, right? But it goes back to the theme we've been talking about for 2 weeks now with Fiers and with and the KD and Perkins and all these other different issues where there's the unwritten rule of... What goes on in the locker room or between teammates stays and you don't bring it out. And I don't know if even after 10 or 15 years, it's the right thing to do. Because as I told you guys, what I found out in investigating the whole Durant-Perkins thing was that KD had an axe to grind because when Perk got into the business with ESPN, he started to air out some things that KD thought was off the record.
Right.
And so this is kind of one of those deals too where be careful what you look for because you're obviously looking for attention. You want people to make you relevant again and talk about Donovan McNabb, and then you're interested in hearing what he has to say about T.O. But because you threw the softball in the air doesn't mean that everybody's just going to catch it and run back to their position. Someone's going to go take a swing at it, and that could be T.O. And when you hear the other side of the story, now you might not be so happy that you went out and started running your mouth.
Yeah. Like I said, you knew – you had to know that this was going to happen, right? Like you just – if you do an interview – McNabb and OBJ included. Was the other name I was thinking of.
OBJ, okay, yeah.
You do an interview with guys like Antonio Brown, OBJ, Ocho Cinco, Terrell Owens, all these guys, and it's calling them out for something, this is the response you're going to get. So McNabb, he had to know, unless he was drunk.
Yeah.
He had to know.
I think he had to. I think he definitely knew that there was going to be a response, and I think he really doesn't care.
He says his
relationship is fractured until this point, so he obviously doesn't care about his relationship. Now that it's out several years, it's not like T.O.'s in a locker room again. He doesn't care.
And here's the good thing is, everybody knows T.O.'s a little cuckoo. So whatever he says, everyone looks at him and goes, "Yeah, I might be believe 50% of that."
Yeah.
And McNabb like probably Conseco. Knows that because it's like, whatever he says, no one's going to believe all of it, no matter what.
The funny thing, too, is that other people getting involved, like Lenny Dykstra, who's not just borderline cuckoo. He's all the way over the cuckoo's nest. And he came out because one of the other people said, "Hey, T.O. gets a bad rap because they all say he's the one that called out Donovan McNabb for throwing up in the huddle in the Super Bowl, and it was actually Freddie Mitchell." And Dykstra sends a tweet to Freddie Mitchell and says, I think my man T.O. just hold my beard, you, Freddie. Man, you guys are making me look comparatively calm next to, like, Ron Darling as being his best friend. Now, you remember Ron Darling and Dykstra got into it big time over Darling's book because Darling accused him of making racial slurs towards Mets players.
Yep.
And it got really heated and ugly to where Dykstra was basically threatening Darling. So then he chimes in, and then Owens comes back with, along with sharing what it meant to be the third black quarterback to start in a Super Bowl, but he didn't share that he was and is the first and only quarterback, black or white, to throw up in the huddle. Oh, yeah. Just found out why he was throwing up, too.
Oh.
It's not over, guys. Whoa. It's still going.
So now he's saying it's because he was out partying all night, or was he pregnant? He was pregnant. That's what it was.
Either he was scared.
McNabb played in the Super Bowl pregnant. You heard it here first.
Yeah, either
he wasn't scared. I don't think he was scared. He probably hung over.
Initially, when T.O. made the comments, he had insinuated that Donovan McNabb was a little scared, or he was freaking out a little bit.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It could be. You know, it could be a lot of things. Yeah. But if you want to catch the thread, you can just go
pretty interesting
at Terrell Owens.
Pretty
and it's
fun.
All there, and it is he did not quit. He did not let up. He kept, and if someone else decided to chime in with a comment or something like that, he responded. So it was pretty
messy.
You
know what's sad about all this? Poor Eli. He retires. No one cared. No one cares. Everyone's like, okay. Bye. I mean, I feel bad for Eli.
ESPN cares. The Sports Center cares.
Why?
Because they would not stop talking
about
it.
Oh, really?
Well, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not a Hall of Famer? That was a big debate.
That's the other thing is Eli's like, man, I've won Super Bowls. And
people question it.
Yeah. And now the debate is, which I know we had this debate.
Oh, long time ago.
And I don't even remember what my stance was, if I'm being honest with you. I don't even remember if I said he was or he wasn't. I'm sure you'll tell me, yesterday when people told me what my stance was on something that happened a long time ago and I don't remember. I'll be honest with you. It's not like I keep a journal. Okay, this is going to be my take on this thing.
I think you called him the second best quarterback in history of football next to Tom Brady. I believe you said when you win two Super Bowls against Brady and win the MVP.
You kissed my whole entire
You said unless he comes up short statistically, that would put him at second.
Not half of it, not three quarters of it, the whole ass.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you said.
No, I would have never said that.
I'll say that.
You think he's a Hall of Famer? I don't even remember what my take was, to be honest with you. Now I've got to go back and look at his numbers.
I know this. Once we had the topic come up, we did look at the numbers over and over and over again and said that, you know, he statistically had some work to do. But now he's in the top 10 in almost every passing category. Granted, he had a long career.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that what people really focus on is two Super Bowl titles, two MVPs of those Super Bowls. One time he beat the undefeated Patriots looking for an undefeated season. The other time he beat Green Bay in Green Bay, who was 15-1 going into the game, and then won the Super Bowl.
He's seventh on the list all time for passing yards. Does that do it for you?
I just think, well,
he's ahead of Elway.
It's a combo platter.
Eli
right?
had more passing yards than Elway.
It's a combo platter.
Okay.
Because you can look at the numbers and where does he rank. And if he's in the top 10 in all the numbers, then he's justified. And then you look at, has he ever won? Because one of the other things everybody always says in every league is, you ever won a title? Well, he's won two.
Mm-hmm.
He was MVP of both of those games. And when you start thinking about it, the David Tyree catch, people see the catch off the helmet. They forget he scrambled his ass off, stayed on his feet, and made one hell of a pass.
Great point.
And then Mario Manningham in the other Super Bowl, when he dropped in a bucket with two defenders on him on the sideline. Manningham made a hell of a catch, but Eli put it in the only place it could be so that he could set up the touchdown to Plaxico Burress.
But okay, so we've established he's seventh on the list all-time in passing yards, ahead of John Elway.
He's also got the golden ticket.
He is also seventh on the list all-time in passing touchdowns, ahead of Fran Tarkenton, ahead of John Elway. And other guys. So
if all seven ahead of him in all numbers, those categories are in the Hall of Fame, he deserves it.
His numbers are better than, let's see. Well, you've got still a lot of actives on there. Breeze, Brady, Manning.
All Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Favre, Marino,
Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer.
Phillip Rivers is ahead of him in passing touchdowns.
Going to be a Hall of Famer, though.
And then Eli Manning. And he's that's in. It. That's the list of people ahead of him in passing touchdowns. The list of people ahead of him in passing yards is...
Interceptions, Drew Brees, he's up there, too, I bet you.
Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, Phillip Rivers all have more passing yards than Eli Manning, and that's it.
And he's got the fellas, he's got the golden ticket.
Yeah.
He's got Super that Bowl. Word on the back of his jersey. Manning...
Yeah,
Cooper Manning may get a late never had an run MVP. At getting in.
Him and Elway, both two-time Super Bowl champs.
Never had a regular season MVP, but had two Super Bowl MVPs.
Correct, but never had.
I mean, Cooper Manning may get a write-in because of how much that Manning name means in football with Archie Payton and
Eli. I honestly think he would get in without the name.
His completion,
well, now he would.
His completion percentage was better than Elway's. I'm literally just comparing him to John Elway.
His interceptions has to be up there.
He threw 244 interceptions. John Elway threw 226.
I also believe he has a 500 record lifetime. That's not good.
And the reason I'm comparing them, same amount of games. Eli played in 236. Elway played in 234. So when you look at it, he's got more passing yards, more touchdowns.
What was his all-time record? I think it was 500.
Elway was 148, 82, and 1. That's really good.
Yeah.
Eli Manning was 117, 117.
There you go.
That's a big one.
500 is not a good record.
Two-time Super Bowl champ.
Yep.
And a lot of his numbers are better than Elway's. I think you got to put him in.
I think we have to come to the realization that the standard is really not that high. You can start looking at a bunch of quarterbacks and say, well, if he's in the Hall of Famer, Eli Manning deserves to be in the Hall of Famer. There's probably 10 of them.
But there's a line. Like, for me, I don't know if Matthew Stafford's going to be a Hall of Famer.
No.
But he's top 18 in passing yards.
Bigger thing is it's a different game.
Yeah.
It's a different game. It's a pass-happy game now.
True, true.
All right. That's the first hour of the show. We've got second hour coming up right around the corner. Don't go anywhere as we'll continue to talk about a whole bunch of things right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.